Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of flesh is flesh, and what is born of spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen. Yet you did not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one who has ascended into heaven except the one who has descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world may be saved through him." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It's time to have a come to Jesus talk. This was a phrase that my former coworkers and I used to throw around the office from time to time. I'm not exactly sure where this originated in our workplace. I was informed by my husband, Adam, last night that it's actually a Southern thing. So, none of us being Southerners in the church that I was formerly working at, I have no idea how it ended up becoming a popular phrase, but somehow this always came up that we had to have a come to Jesus talk when we had to confront someone with a hard truth. My friend, who is our youth and family minister, had to have a come to Jesus talk with one of our high school seniors who was having panic attacks trying to choose a college. We had to have come to Jesus talks with staff members who were making work a little bit more difficult than they should have been by bringing unnecessary conflict into the office. We had come to Jesus talks with one another about our future in ministry and about our careers. It's time to have a come to Jesus talk, everyone. Now, the funny thing is, I think a lot of people think about a come to Jesus talk as something completely opposite to what it meant for us. For us, a come to Jesus talk was when we had to have a hard conversation about the hard truths and get somebody to face up to what was going on in their life. However, I think often people equate Jesus with a fuzzy, cute bunny. So a come to Jesus talk would be something that was, you know, pleasant instead of challenging. To many, a come to Jesus talk was happy and easy and breezy and carefree and something to not be worried about. But often, our come to Jesus moments are anything but. Just ask Nicodemus from today's reading. Nicodemus was a Pharisee who was familiar with Jesus and familiar with what Jesus had been up to in his early ministry. And Nicodemus also wasn't a dumb guy. He was a Pharisee, which meant he was smart and knew a thing or two about theology and about God. And Nicodemus also recognized that Jesus was up to something special. So Nicodemus came to Jesus and had his very own come to Jesus talk with Jesus himself. Now it starts out nicely enough. Nicodemus compliments Jesus. This is always a good way to start a conversation, right? Nice hat. I like the way you're wearing your hair. That's a great shirt that you have on. Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. Compliment, nice way to begin a conversation. It helps break the ice and can even open up more conversation. It also establishes who the two players are. We have Jesus, the rabbi or the teacher. And the fact that we have a rabbi and a Pharisee talking to each other, we know that both men know their stuff. It's not a bad start for this come to Jesus talk. However, conversation quickly spirals out of control. Jesus' reply isn't a compliment back. It's not a, how are you? It's not a comment about this crazy weather that we're supposed to be getting tomorrow and tonight. It's not a, hey, what are you doing for St. Patrick's Day? Instead, Jesus goes directly for the jugular. His next line is, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born from above. Wait, what? Yes, this is how Jesus likes to start his conversations. Not only is it a statement about the kingdom of God, but it also ends with this funny little verb, being born from above. It's kind of a weird idea, right? And it's even made even weirder by the fact that this verb has a double meaning. Not only does it mean being born from above, it also means being born anew or born again. And it means all these things all at once. So all in all, it's not exactly the nicest or the easiest way for Jesus to begin a conversation. And what follows is poor Nicodemus getting schooled by Jesus. In the rest of the conversation, he can only manage to utter two questions. The first, which addresses this whole double meaning, confusing thing that Jesus has just said. Well, how can anyone being born after growing old, can one enter into the second time into the mother's womb and be born? Huh? It's a fair question, all things considered. His second question is simply, how can these things be? Now remember, Nicodemus is bright. He's supposed to be one of the best, being a Pharisee. And here even he's confused. Nicodemus is in over his head. And so are we, for that matter. The challenging thing about a come-to-Jesus talk is your expectations. What do you expect when you come to Jesus? What do you expect him to say? What do you expect him to do? What do you expect of Jesus? Yesterday, I went to a synod-organized event put on by our Congregations Together in Mission committee that we have, synod-wide committee. It was in Hanover, and Nadia Bowles-Weber, a fellow pastor, was the keynote speaker there. Now, if you haven't heard of Nadia, she's pretty much the closest thing we have in the LCA to a celebrity or a rock star right now. She started a church in Denver called The House for All Sinners and Saints, is a phenomenal writer, and recently released a book called Pastrix, which actually ended up on the New York Times bestsellers list. Also, it's a great book, if you don't mind a little snark and some language, to be honest. But it's a phenomenal read. Now, Nadia was a good friend of Adam's in seminary. They know each other quite well, and she and I also crossed paths while we were there. I would loosely say she's a friend of mine. And Adam knows her well enough, too, where I've heard a lot of stories from him, and I've also read her books and her sermons and feel like I have a good measure of who she is as a person and what she believes and what she's about. Now, the thing about being a celebrity or a rock star, even in the church, is it can go a little bit funny. Expectations start kind of going wonky. While we were at this event, we spent some time in small groups talking about the church and about what it means to be a disciple, and we ended up talking about Nadia and about her church because she did the keynote speeches. And in her keynote addresses, she talked about her experience and her church and what they did there and why they did it. And what happened in these small groups is I started hearing people's expectations about what she does and what she's about. I heard expectations on everything from what her theology must be, or how she must lead worship, or how she must pick her music. People were assuming things. They were expecting things like, well, clearly she must not really be a Lutheran. Or clearly she must use a special kind of brand of contemporary music to get people in. Or clearly she must have just jettisoned the liturgy. All of these things were not true. Most of the time, the expectations did not match the reality. In fact, she is a really staunch, hardcore Lutheran in the best way possible. She loves liturgy and incorporates that into her worship, and she loves traditional hymns. Absolutely no contemporary worship for them in their services. Most of the expectations that I heard about her were not even close. And I quickly picked up that their expectations of Nadia actually said more about what they believed their ministry should look like as opposed to what Nadia was actually about. Now, I can't speak specifically to what Nicodemus's expectations were in the passage. They don't tell us. But I feel like I can make a good, educated guess. Because clearly, Nicodemus is caught off guard by Jesus' claims. This is not the conversation he expected to have with Jesus. And if we're honest, we're caught a little off guard too. What are your expectations of Jesus? What are they really? What are your honest expectations of God? When you have your come to Jesus talk with Jesus himself, what do you expect will happen? Honestly, I would probably expect one of three things. First, I would expect or hope that maybe Jesus would be like a genie and would just fix everything I needed fixing. Who hasn't had a problem that they just like to go away? I mean, God is God. Certainly God can take some time out of his busy schedule to clean my house. Or maybe we want Jesus to grant us something a little bit more, to just fix that broken relationship I have, because I honestly don't want to do the hard work that's going to take to do that myself. Or maybe we expect Jesus to give us a pat on the head because, you know what, you're doing just a fine job on your own, and Jesus knows this, and Jesus approves. When I was in seminary, and you get to the near the end of the semester, for those of you who have been through grad school, college, you remember this point. You just want to be done. So I would hand in my final paper, and then I would get it back from my professor, who would want to give me some, you know, constructive criticism. This was good. Maybe you should think about this some more. But near the end of the semester, I was just done. Just give me my passing grade, give me my A, and let me walk out of this office and be done. Just let it be done. Jesus, just pat me on the head, tell me I've passed, let it be good. Or maybe I would expect, if I didn't get that pat on the head right away, for Jesus to give me a set of rules and expectations to follow so that the next time I have this little come to Jesus talk, Jesus that time can pat me on the head and tell me good. But expectations and reality don't match up in this case. Not even close. In reality, Jesus, being Jesus, manages to both smash our expectations into teeny tiny little pieces and also exceed our expectations in the best way possible. In reality, in this come to Jesus talk, we're given tricking double meanings. In reality, no matter how smart we are, Jesus manages to outsmart us. I mean, I can't really blame Nicodemus for his "I have no idea what's going on" responses to Jesus. We actually get to sit down with the passage and have it in front of us and dissect it and pick it apart. And I get to read other people's thoughts and opinions in Bible commentaries who are much smarter than I am. Nicodemus had none of this. He had just had to go with it. So all things considered, his responses are about the best that we could hope for ourselves if we were in that situation. In reality, Jesus confuses us with talks of being born again and born anew and born from above and being born of water and spirit. In reality, Jesus is really hard to understand sometimes. In reality, Jesus refuses to be our own personal genie. In reality, Jesus refuses to pat us on our head like we've done a good job or something. In reality, Jesus refuses to let us earn our keep in God's kingdom by following a bunch of rules. In reality, Jesus refuses to live up to our expectations. In reality, Jesus has a much better plan for us than we could have ever asked for or expected. The last two verses from today's reading, pretty well known, right? Jesus tells Nicodemus, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that whoever believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." So in reality, God so loved the world that God gave his only son, that whoever believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. In reality, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, because sometimes we certainly deserve it, but in order that the world might be saved through him. That is our reality through Jesus. We are saved. We are given eternal life. We are forgiven. Not because we're as smart as Jesus or because we've earned it somehow, but because God loves us. For God so loved the world. There are no qualifiers there. There are no expectations. Even those things that we lay out and Jesus lays out in front of us, we must be born again, born anew, born from above, born of water and spirit. These are not things that we do. These are things that are done to us. Done to us through Jesus' Son, done to us through God's love, done to us in baptism, which we will celebrate later in the service. There are no expectations anymore of us. No expectations that we have to have our life perfectly together. No expectations of earning God's love somehow. There's just God's love for us that's fully realized through God becoming flesh in Jesus, and through Jesus' death on the cross and resurrection. This is our reality. And it turns out this come to Jesus talk has a happy ending, which is our enduring reality this day and always. Thanks be to God. Amen.